بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah salam and salam be upon the noble prophet, the believers of his family, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us sincere followers of their path until we meet him while pleased with us. Alhamdulillah. We begin hadith number 5 from the collection of Imam al-Nawawi, and this is the hadith of Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha, the mother of the believers, Aisha radiyallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her and her father. She said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. رواه البخاري ومسلم. And by Muslims narration, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. On the authority of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her and her father, she said that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, he who invents or innovates something in this matter of ours, meaning in our deen, that is not of it or part of it, will have it rejected. This is narrated by Al-Bukhari and by Muslim, and in the version reported by Muslim, it reads, he who does an act which our matter is not in agreement with, will have it rejected. Aisha. Here, in the translation of the meaning of the hadith, they didn't mention from the mother of the believers, Abdullah, nicked Abdullah, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with him. That was dropped in the translation of the meaning, but it's in the original text. Called the mother of the believers. Why? Because she is one of the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And all the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam are given this nickname, mothers of the believers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 6, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. And his wives are there, meaning the believers' mothers. So all the wives of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام are mothers of the believers. Now, she has the nick Abdullah. Did she have a son or not? Some of the people of knowledge said that she had a son who was aborted and did not live. Others mention that none of this really existed. However, she took this nick because the most beloved names to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. And Aisha is the daughter of Abi Bakr as-Siddiq, the truthful one, may Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet ﷺ married her when she was 6 and commenced the marriage when she was 9. And she narrated a great deal of knowledge and fiqh and understanding to the Ummah. She is considered one of the Muhaddithat, the narrators of hadith and one of the faqihat, one of the learned in fiqh. She said in this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man ahdasa," meaning one who invents something in you, not existing before. But relevant to what? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Fi amrina," in this matter of ours, meaning in our deen, in our sharia. "Ma laysa minhu," that which is not of it, meaning that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and or his messenger did not legislate, then fahwa rad, then it will have it rejected upon him, upon the person who invents this, even if it originates with sincerity. Even if it originates with sincerity. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Bayyina, verse 5. Al-Bayyina, Al-Ayah 5. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ. And they were commanded not but they should worship Allah and worship none Him alone, meaning purity and sincerity only to Allah in worship. Also because of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 3:85, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him, and in the hereafter he will be one of the losers. And in the narration by Imam Muslim, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. And who does an act which our matter is not in agreement with will have it rejected. And this is more general than the first one. This would mean anyone who does an action, whether this is an act of worship or a transaction or other than that, which is not in agreement with the command of Allah and His Messenger, then will have it rejected. This hadith is an original hadith considered as aslun min usul al-Islam, a foundation of the foundations of Islam. And evidence for this is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am 6:153, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله. And verily this is my straight path, so follow it and follow not other paths, for they will separate you away from his path. And the ulama of Islam, the scholars of Islam, are in agreement that worship is not correct unless it comprises two matters. The first is purity and sincerity, and the second is mutaba'ah, following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this mutaba'ah, following, is taken from this hadith and from this ayah in Al-Imran 6 or Al-An'am 6:153. Al-mutaba'ah, following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The evidence for that is in this hadith we are talking about, and in the verse recited earlier, and verily this is my straight path, so follow it and follow not other paths, for they will separate you from his path. From the benefits of this hadith, number one, prohibition to innovate anything in the deen of Allah, even with good intention. And even if the heart yearns to that and moves forward in its direction. لأن هذا من عمل الشيطان. Because this is from Shaitan's way. And if someone says, if I invent something new, the origin of which is in Sharia. However, I perform it in a manner not approved by the Sharia. Would it be rejected or not? The answer is, yes, it will be rejected. Yes, it will be rejected. This is like what people had innovated in their actions of worship and remembrances and in manners and the like. All of this is rejected. And let it be known, as we emphasized earlier, that the following of the deen cannot be true unless it agrees with the Sharia in six matters. Unless it agrees with the Sharia in six matters. In the kind, in the cause, in the kind, in the extent, in the manner, in the timing, and in the place. Remember these six matters. Any following cannot be true in any action unless it is in agreement with the Sharia in these six manners. In these six methods, kind, in cause, in extent, in manner, in timing, and in place. And if it doesn't agree, then it is futile and rejected, because it is an innovation. First, with regard to the cause, this is for a person to do an act of worship based upon a cause which the Sharia did not legislate as a cause. For example, if a person, every time he enters his home, he makes two rak'ah and follows this like a sunnah, this is rejected. Although salah in origin is legislated, salah in origin is legislated by Allah, but since he linked it to a cause not made as a cause by Sharia, then it became rejected. Another example. If he invents a celebration commemorating the victory of Muslims in the Battle of Badr, then it will be rejected, because he linked it to a cause the nature of which was not made a cause by Allah and by His Messenger. This is the first thing. Second, that the action must be in agreement with the Sharia and the kind, in its kind. Otherwise, it will be rejected. For example, for someone to sacrifice on the day of Eid, he goes and sacrifices a horse, then it will not be accepted, because it is opposing the Sharia in the kind. Why? Because the animal sacrifice is the kind of camel, cow, and sheep. However, if he slaughters a horse in order to distribute its meat as a charity, this is permissible, because he did not use the sacrifice as a means of nearness to Allah. Rather, he sacrificed it in order to give its meat in charity. Third, the action must be in agreement with the Sharia in the extent. So if someone worships Allah Azza wa Jal by adding or taking away from the extent of worship, then it will be rejected. For example, if someone washes his parts for wudu, instead of three, he washes them four times, it will be rejected, because he added to the extent brought forth by the Sharia. In fact, it came in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ made wudu thrice on the parts, and he said, whoever adds to this, then he indeed had done wrong and transgressed and was unjust, or is unjust. Whoever adds to this, then indeed he has done wrong and transgressed and done and has done injustice. Fourth, that the action must be in compliance with the Sharia in the manner. So if someone prays and makes sujood before making ruku', his salah is nullified, rejected, because it is not agreeing with the Sharia in the manner, in the how. Similarly, if he makes wudu in the opposite way, and he begins with his feet and ends up with his head, and then the hands, and then the face, this is false, incorrect, rejected, because it's opposing the Sharia in the manner, in the how. The fifth one, the action must be in agreement with the Sharia in timing. So if he prays before the commencement of the prescribed time of salah, then the salah is not acceptable, because it is being done in a time not assigned by the Sharia. And if he sacrifices his animal sacrifice before the salah of the Eid, it will not be accepted, because it is not in agreement with the Sharia in timing of this act of worship. And if he makes i'tikaf, ritual seclusion, in a time not legislated by Sharia, then it is not legalized However, permissible. What does this mean? Because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام permitted it in certain cases. He approved of Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, to make the seclusion in the sacred mosque حين نذره, when he made a vow. And if someone delays the action of worship, which is a timed one, he delays it till after its assigned time without a legal excuse. For example, if he prays the Fajr, if the person prays the Fajr after sunrise without a legal permit, then his salah is marduda, rejected. Sixth and last one, that the action must be in agreement with the Sharia in terms of timing, in terms of a place. For example, if one makes seclusion, i'tikaf, in other than the masajid, like in a school or at home, then his i'tikaf seclusion is incorrect, because it is in disagreement with the Sharia in the place. So be mindful of these six usul basics, and then relate all other things to them. Let's take now some examples of things which are rejected because they are in opposition to the command of Allah and His Messenger. First example, if someone starts trading, selling and buying after the second adhan on the day of Jumu'ah, and he is from the people upon whom Jumu'ah is mandatory, then his trade contract is futile because it's opposing the command of Allah and His Messenger. If this takes a place, then the price and the commodity is to be exchanged back. The commodity goes to the seller and the price goes to the buyer. And that's why when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was informed that the good dates were exchanged, one sa' for two of bad ones and the two sa's for the three, he said, return them. He nullified the trade because this is in opposition to the command of Allah and His Messenger. And the way to do it is to sell the good dates and buy with it whatever other dates you want. And the sa' is about slightly more than 2 kilos. The second example, if someone concludes a contract of marriage without a guardian, then the marriage is nullified, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا نكاح إلا بولي, there is no nikah, no correct marriage except with a guardian. Third example, if someone divorces his wife while in state of menses, would the divorce be considered or not? The answer, there is khilaf, difference of opinion amongst the scholars. And that's why when the saying that the divorce does not take place during menses was related to Imam Ahmad, he said, this is a bad opinion. And this is Imam Ahmad. And suffice to know who is Imam Ahmad in the knowledge of hadith and fiqh. And he denounced this saying. And some of the scholars deny the saying that the talaq does not take place during menses, and they say that it does, and it is considered one talqa, one divorce. However, there are others who say that it does not take place. And from them is Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. So the matter is disputable. However, I mentioned it, the Shaykh rahimahullah is saying, I mentioned it so that you don't lax, meaning referring to the students of knowledge, so that you don't lax in making fatwa to the people that, and don't take it lightly. For you to go and say that the talaq does not take place. Rather, if they do that, meaning the people, and considers it binding, then make it binding upon them. Just as Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, did when people began to consider that three announcements of divorce at once, considered them to be actually three. So he made it binding upon them. Yet it was known that during the Prophet ﷺ's time and the time of Abi Bakr, and 2 years from the reign of Umar, the three announcements at one time were considered only one pronunciation of divorce, not three. However, when people transgressed the limits, Umar made it binding upon them. And he said, you cannot return to your wife because you made it binding upon yourself. I say this, the Shaykh rahimahullah said, لأن الناس الآن تلاعبوا, because people started playing with this. Here comes to you a common man, and he says that he divorced his wife in menses 10 years ago. So we tell him, so it be. It is to be considered. He says, well, I did this when she was in menses, and therefore it is an innovated divorce. Listen to this, the common man saying this. He says this, وَهُوَ عَمِّي. But it is hawa, it is desire. Can we make fatwa to this man, and we tell him, your divorce is not considered? We say no. We cannot do that, because we have a responsibility on the day of resurrection. We tell him, you made it binding upon you, so we're going to make it binding on you. Don't you think? If, when you announced this divorce 10 years ago, and her waiting period finished, and another man married her, would you go to him and tell him, this wife is mine? The answer, he wouldn't do that. he wouldn't say this. So if he was the one who made it binding upon himself, so how should we open the door for him to play? So the talaq, the divorce, in menses, the majority of the scholars is with the opinion that it takes place, it's effective, and that we heard what Imam Ahmad said, that in the other opinion is a bad one, meaning it shouldn't be considered. The fourth example, someone sells an ounce of gold for an ounce and a half. This trade, this selling is haram, is batil, nullified, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith reported by Bukhari and by Muslim, لا تبيع الذهب بالذهب إلا مثلا بمثل سواء بسواء. Don't sell gold for gold unless equal in amount, in weight. Don't sell gold for gold unless equal in weight. Fifth example. A man prays in a garment which he abducted from someone. The majority of the scholars say his salah in itself is correct, because the prohibition or the forbiddance is not related to the salah. Rather, it is related to the abduction of the garment, and whether he prays with the garment he took by force or not, the salah itself is correct. So the prohibition here is not related to the salah in essence. And the Prophet ﷺ did not say, do not pray in the abducted thobe, garment. Rather, he forbade the abduction and forbidden that, and he didn't mention anything concerning the salah. Sixth example, someone prays optional prayer that is not related to any cause. He prays that optional prayer during the times of prohibition. His action is rejected. Seventh example, someone fasts on the day of Eid al-Fitr. It is rejected. Eighth example, someone made wudu with an abducted water. His wudu is correct in itself, because what is forbidden is the abduction, not the wudu with the abducted water. So when the forbiddance is related to the worship itself, then it is incorrect if it is conducted in the way it is prohibited. And if the prohibition is general, then it is not related to the correctness of the worship. Ninth example. Someone cheats someone in the trade. The trade itself is correct, because what is being forbidden is the deception, the cheating. And that's why if the one deceived accepts the trade, then the trade itself is correct. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا تلقوا الجلب. Do not go out to meet the traders in the way. Wait until the merchandise is brought into the market, and enter into business transaction with him. And whoever meets him and buys from him, meaning in the way, in this case, or in the case it is done, to see that when the owner, the trader, comes into the market and finds that he has been paid less price, he has the option to declare the transaction null and void. The Prophet ﷺ, he didn't say that the buying itself is nullified. Rather, he corrected that. Yet, he left the choice to this trader, because he is the one who was deceived with the price when he came to the market. He found that he has been paid less price. So the Prophet ﷺ said, don't go out to meet the merchandise, the traders with their merchandise in the way. Wait until it is brought into the market. And that's where you do the transactions. Even therefore, we conclude, there is a difference between the prohibition addressing the action itself, or addressing something external to the action. If it is addressing the action itself, then there is no doubt that it is rejected. Because if you correct it, this would be in opposition to Allah and His Messenger. However, if it is related to something external to the action, then the action is still considered correct on its own merit. The sin, however, is in the action done when it's declared haram. So you have to differentiate between when the forbiddance is addressing the action itself from that where it is addressing something external to the action. And from these examples which we went over, there is a clarification for this conclusion. 10th example. Someone goes for Hajj using abducted money or wealth. For example, he abducts a camel and makes Hajj on it, or a car and performs Hajj. The Hajj in itself is correct. This is the saying of the majority of the scholars. However, he is sinful for abducting the means, the car, the camel, the mount, because this is something external to the act of worship of Hajj. Some of them, of the scholars, however, said, لا يصح الحج. The Hajj is incorrect. Now, the narration by Muslim, whoever does an action which is not in accordance with our command, with our way, then it is to be rejected. And the statement here is, if it is not in accordance with the command of Allah and His Messenger, then it is to be rejected. And this is definitely concerning the acts of worship. Why? Because the original ruling with respect to worship is refrainment, forbiddance, until there is evidence to indicate that it is legal. I repeat, the original ruling the original ruling, the fundamental ruling with respect to the acts of worship, is that refrainment until there is evidence to indicate that this is an act of worship. You cannot initiate an act of worship unless you have a proof that it is. So the origin with respect to ibadat is forbidden unless you have a proof that this is a worship. The origin with respect to other than the ibadat, other than the worships, like transactions, it is lawful unless there is evidence to indicate otherwise. With respect to worships, you cannot do any worship unless you have, because the origin is refrainment until you have a proof that this is a worship. With respect to other than worship, from transactions and so forth, the original ruling, it is halal unless you have a proof to indicate otherwise. This is a fundamental difference, fundamental difference between these two. Is this understood? Is this understood? This is a very important matter. Okay, great. Alhamdulillah. Let's take, for example, transactions. Someone hunts a bird to eat. Then someone else comes and denounces that. So he responds by saying, what is the dalil that this is haram? What is the dalil? What is the evidence? What is the evidence that this is unlawful? So he has the right to say this. He has the right to say that. Bring me your proof that this is unlawful. Because the origin with respect to hunting and birds and everything, the origin with respect to this is halal. Is halal until you bring me an evidence to indicate otherwise. Why the origin is halal? Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:29. Can we have the verse, please? هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. He, Allah, it is He who created for you all that's on the earth. Indicating that the origin is halal unless there is a proof to indicate otherwise. A restriction. Take it another thing. Someone does so many things in his home, with his car, with his clothes, in anything of his worldly life. And then someone else comes and denounce him. He has the right to say, what is the deal? What is the delil? What is your proof that this is unlawful? These are two fundamental matters of our deen. And therefore we say, we have now three categories. First, what the Sharia allowed from worships, then it is legal. Whatever the Sharia allowed of worships, then it is legal. Number one, whatever the Sharia allowed of worships, then it is legal. Second, whatever the Sharia forbade, then it is forbidden. Whatever the Sharia allows from worship is legal. But we know that this is from Sharia, that it allowed it for worship, then this is legal. And whatever we know that the Sharia forbade, then it is forbidden. The second. Okay. The second. Let us repeat them all. The three categories. Let's repeat them. Whatever we knew that the Sharia allows, then it is allowable. From worship. Add to this, please. Worship. Whatever we knew that the Sharia allows from the worships, then it is allowable. Can we write that? Or can we write that, inshallah? Whatever we know that the Sharia made allowable from worships, then it is allowable. Second, whatever we knew that the Sharia forbade, then it is forbidden. The third, whatever we know not from worships, then it is forbidden. Whatever we know not, that these are worships, then it is forbidden. Because the origin with respect to worships is forbidden unless we have a proof. This is with respect to worship. With respect to transactions. With respect to transactions and essences of things, there are also three types. Whatever we know that the Sharia permitted, then it is allowable. Secondly, whatever we know that the Sharia forbade, then it is forbidden, like eating the fanged beasts and birds with talons, like eating fanged beasts and birds with talons. Third, that which we don't know of, then it is allowable. That which we don't know of, then it is allowable. Because the origin with respect to other than the worships is allowability. So that which we don't know of, then it is allowable. This concludes the discussion of this great fundamental hadith in our deen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.